Emergency meeting to order. Today is September the 30th, and it is 1:01 PM. First on the agenda is prayer, and Congresswoman Lemon, will you say our prayer this afternoon?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. If you could please bow your heads with me in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We come to you today and thanking you so much for the blessing of this rain that our parched land is in so much in need of. And we thank you today. Having another day here on Mother Earth, and we ask that you wrap your arms around us. Find their way to you so that they can give all of their fears and worries over to you. We ask that you please give a special look upon our children and upon our elderly and upon our mourners. We have suffered a great many loss this week, and we know that that grief can sometimes consume us. We ask that you lift us up and guide us to the light. We ask all.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Next on the agenda is roll call.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Caitlin.
Before I do roll call, could I get the caller with the last four digits 1615 to identify themselves and also mute their phone?
This is Cecilia.
Thank you. We're getting really bad feedback from you, Cecilia. You might want to mute unless you're talking.
Am I muted now? Can you hear me?
We can still hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congressman Big Horse.
Here.
Speaker Pratt.
Here.
Chair Stabler.
Present. We do have a quorum. Next on the agenda is approval of minutes.
Chair.
Congressman Tillman.
Motion to approve the minutes September 24th is presented.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Minutes are approved.
They're fresh. They're still warm.
Minutes are approved.
I'll call you later.
Next on our agenda is the consideration of appointees. We have three appointees today. If you'll bear with me, I do have the first one on the call now, and then we'll have two others that I will have to text and let them know when it's time to join in. So for
Madam Chair.
Consideration, yes, Congresswoman Lemon.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Madam Chair. I just wanted to just say, I know that you all have received the email, but I will be abstaining from discussion or votes. And just for anybody also listening in concerning the appointment of Cecilia Tallchief. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. So our first candidate is Cecilia Tallchief, and she has been on the board since its inception in 2015. Cecilia, I'm going to give you the floor first if you have any comments you'd like to make before we go into questions. Cecilia, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay. I don't have any long comments to make. I would just like to, and he's not there, I know, but to thank the chief for appointing me for another term. I have been on the board some time and have been excited about what I've seen happen. I was an ambulatory nurse supervisor there for a number of years before I left, and I enjoyed working there. I enjoy being on the board and knowing most of the people that utilize the board. There's one thing that I don't know anymore, and I'm glad that we have so many new employees, more and added more providers. I'm sorry, I don't know them. I know their names, but and sometimes that's best if you're on the board to listen to your managers. They're the ones that oversight the programs. And we only, as the same, we only oversight the management part of it. We do not do daily operations. And I think that that's the best thing that can happen. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from Congress? No questions or comments?
Just a comment, Madam Chair.
Okay, Congressman Big Horse, go ahead.
I would just like to say that I've known Ms. Tall Chief all my life. I consider her historical knowledge and her overall knowledge very valuable. So if there are no further comments or questions, I have movement.
Yes, go ahead, unless there's a question.
Okay. I would like to... consider the consideration of appointee Cecilia Tallchief to the Health Authority Board as a candidate that is qualified by education experience and there are no ethical or legal barriers to service.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? No. I'm a no. Motion passes. And thank you, Cecilia, and thank you, Congress. And our next, I need to give her a quick message here. Yes. Who was that?
It's Brandy. I just couldn't hear you said for a few moments, so I thought I might have got disconnected. I apologize.
Okay, that's okay. Cecilia, could you mute your phone, please? We're getting some conversation.
This is Cecilia. Am I finished?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, she's muted her phone now. Okay, and I just sent a message out to the next candidate, and so we're just watching for her to join. Okay, I've gone ahead and texted both of them. We'll see who jumps on first. Okay, Haley, can you hear us? I need to unmute.
Oh, sorry, I'm doing this from my phone and I'm not used to doing it from there.
That's okay. That's okay. We can hear you. So our next candidate is Haley Kramer, and this is her first submission or her first review to become a board member for the Health Authority Board. So welcome, Haley, and I'd like to give you a couple of minutes to introduce yourself, and then we'll move into questions from the committee.
Okay, great. And you guys have my packet, right, with the...
Yes, everybody received the packet.
Okay. My name is Haley Kramer, and I'm a nurse practitioner currently. I've been in healthcare for 20-something years. Started out with my education in health science, and then I got a master's in public health, and then I decided I wanted to be a nurse, so became a nurse, and then along the way became a nurse practitioner. I've always worked in nonprofit, and even before I was a nurse, that was my calling, and currently work in a federally funded Title 10 clinic that does that's family planning here in Missouri. Also have some experience in substance abuse treatment. I worked with adolescents for several years as a nurse, and I am Osage. I don't know if because I didn't say that in my packet, I guess. And I'm just really looking forward to continuing to work with the board. I think we're doing some really good things and have a lot of really good opportunities right now.
Thank you. Does anyone have questions or comments?
Chair, I have a question.
Congressman Tillman.
Hi, Ms. Kramer. This is Joe Tillman. Welcome. Glad you could be here with us today. Just wanted to follow up on the last comment that you made about doing a lot of good things and have a lot of opportunity. Could you expand on that for us, please?
Well, I think right now, you know, of course, the health clinic has been in a lot of flux recently with new administrative staff, but you know, we're moving forward with the PRT. There's discussion about elder services, and you know, the ARP money I think is allowing or hopefully going to allow for a lot of things that we can do, and just expanding on services that we already have and ensuring that our people are getting the care that they need. I think it's just, it's a really opportune time to come in.
Well, I appreciate that, Ms. Kramer. And again, welcome, and look forward to learning more about you.
All right, thank you.
Is there anyone else with a question or a comment?
Chair, this is Brandy.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hi, Ms. Haley Kramer. This is Brandy Lemon, and welcome today. I've listened to in some of the board meetings where you've had some participation, and I must say that I have gone over your packet and looked at everything extensively. Myself, I'm a nurse. I'm also Cecilia Tall Chief's daughter, and so it makes it a little bit of a different dynamic in the seat that I'm in and the seat that my mother currently holds. And so one of my things is that in the packets, there's some things that I feel like that we ask our people, but sometimes we don't really get to kind of know them and our board members. And so I was wondering if you could just kind of tell me some of the things. I have a couple of questions, actually. First, I'll just go with one. What are some of the things that you see in clinics that service minorities as some of the obstacles you've noticed that we face with trying to acquire quality health care? And when I mean quality, evidence-based quality health care, what are some of the things that you've already noticed being on the board and then in general?
I'd say one of the big things, access is always an issue. When you're dealing with, you're thinking of Native peoples, you're thinking of, here in Missouri, we don't have as large of a population, but I do have, other minorities, Latinos, people that don't speak English, African Americans, there's plenty of opportunity to work with underprivileged and people that need access to healthcare. And, that's really, I think, the number one thing is access. And there's so many things that play into access, money, education. A large part of what I do is, in my current work, is connecting people with resources. Because they just don't know where to go to receive any kind of services or care that they might need. And I think that echoes in what we see in not just in Pawhuska, but you think about our outlying communities, and I think access is really a big issue, particularly for those that don't live right in town, Pawhuska, and can't, get a walk or a ride up to the clinic, or, maybe they don't have a phone. There's a lot of things, I think, that just boil down to getting people access to the things that they need. Does that answer what you were asking? Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. I would agree, yes, Ms. Haley, that there are many things that obstacles lie, but access usually and always is a number one topic. I couldn't agree more that there are so many factors that play into that. Barriers that we put in front of ourselves, barriers that the patients put in front of themselves, or barriers to the workflow that we sometimes we think it's the best laid plan and it's the best workflow, but other times we have the ability to reassess it and see that the workflow is just not working for our patient population. And that's just kind of one of the things that I was really hoping that, that we would see a little bit more of telehealth, being that we are in, living in a virtual world more so now than ever, but there's also obstacles to that. So thank you for answering that question. So I do have another question. Can you share something, or do you want to share something with us that you didn't tell us about yourself in the packet?
That's a really great question. I don't know that I was able, in the amount and space of what we had, to explain fully that I really, I think I said I want to be able to contribute in the best way that I know how. And in this case, being appointed to the health board, I think, is something that I can do from, I'm out of town. So I don't I don't get to be right there in the mix of it. I can't, you know, get a job up at the clinic seeing patients or anything like that. And I feel like this is really my way of doing that. I've gotten so much out of that little clinic my entire life. And, you know, our people, that's really the most important thing to me. And I feel like, you know, with my background and my healthcare, I just, I want to give something back and I want to ensure things that are going to be better and, going to be sustainable and that we can continue to improve, healthcare and elder care. And, mostly for, you know, my son, he's in the coming generation, you know, we want to help our elder care now, but we've got to think about, our children coming up in this world as well. And it's just, I feel like I wasn't able to really convey, that really is, very important to me.
Congresswoman Lemon, did you have anything else?
Yes, just one more thing, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Thank you, and I thank you for indulging me. Well, Haley, I want to say thank you for being willing to give back to the nation, give back to our people. And my last question is, and the reason I'm going to ask this question is because we have some legislation that Congresswoman Staber has sponsored. And I am just curious about what your thoughts are on having the ability to move out from under the umbrella of the chief's office and having and being a standalone entity as a healthcare system. And do you feel that now would be an appropriate time? Do you feel that, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? And honestly, your mind could change, of course, later on down the line. And the only reason I ask this is because you did mention that we are in some transitional times with some flux and everything. And there's a lot of, when these things happen to us, there seems to be a lot of uncertainty. There seems to be a lot of doubt. There seems to be a lot of, just uneasiness in general on, you know, where we're headed with our health care system, not just our clinic, but our health care system, an all-encompassing healthcare system. Because my vision is that a vision that I would have is that prevention would be, of course, one of the very top goals so that our people become healthier, but not only just through our health clinic, but all the other programs that we offer at the nation, including diet tied into our Bird Creek Farms or Harvest Land and our meat plant, and finding ways to, you know, utilize those things and incorporate and correlate and work together with more of a holistic value in our healthcare system, but also knowing that we don't have a really strong foundation at this point in time in behavioral health services. And we know, and so knowing what we know, as and most people do, is that it's more of is a whole circle approach. And so I just kind of wanted to see what your thoughts were on, you know, becoming completely autonomous, or at some point, you know, down the road, which I'm not necessarily against, but just knowing that when is the right time to do it.
Okay, am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, again, I'm not used to doing Zoom from my phone. You know, I think it's like you said, there's multiple factors involved, you know, with the change going on right now. I think I'll go to kind of the end of the question. And I think a holistic approach to like an overall wellness system is absolutely imperative because, and I know, you know, as a nurse, you know, it's about the entire person. And in our case, it's about the entire tribe and about the entire nation, all of our people, their bodies, their minds, our culture. You know, as you said, diet, everything wellness related goes into not just healthcare, the traditional patriarchal healthcare that a lot of people think of. So I think, yes, that is very important to have integrated wellness approach. As far as being a standalone entity, when is the right time for that? You know, I really don't know. Is when there's already change going on a good time? Maybe. Down the road, is that a better idea? I'm not sure. I do know, as far as like being under the umbrella, that I think there should be separate, at least, you know, I'm thinking about like human resources, because, you know, hiring for medical and healthcare staff is a lot different than some of the other tribal things that we have, departments that we have, or workers that we have. So I think, I don't know if I have a real strong feeling towards, you know, for now, later, whatever. I'm not against it, but I don't know that I'm necessarily for it. I know that's very ambiguous there, but I think I'd have to put a little bit more thought into it before giving you a really good stand-up answer. And like you said, you know, I might change later too. Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, for indulging me in committee. I appreciate you allowing me to ask so many questions.
Sure. And if sure, thank you, Congresswoman Lemon and Haley. I just want to give a little bit of clarification to my bill that Congresswoman Lemon referred to. It's not a standalone system. They actually will continue to be in a position where they are under the executive offices and not operating like a separate business, but they will be able to manage their own human resources, their own procurement, their own payables, the services that they've been relying on the Treasury for. And that's such a big system. The discussion was to let them handle the operations part of that. So just wanted to make that clear to all the Congress members that were on here. For sure, it's been a year since we've looked at that piece of legislation, so hopefully it'll get to come out again pretty soon and that we will actually make it to that point. And matter of fact, now that I'm thinking about it, they had requested it on hold till January, so it's going to come up pretty soon, I hope. Okay, does anyone else have any questions or any comments? If not, I do. Haley, I noticed that I love the strengths that you have from your resume. It's a real cross section of different viewpoints and different duties that you've performed through policies and procedures and through patient health and kind of like you just, you know, grew up through the ranks in your healthcare field, even down to medical records and things. So, you know, some of those were my jobs too. But what I wanted to talk about was women's health. It was one of the things that you mentioned there. And I know that the board has taken on a lot of new services, which is what we were trying to do, right? Create a health system so that they were overseeing all of those different parts. But in women's health, can you give us a little idea of what your thoughts are for us to create a women's health practice?
Actually, I'm really glad you asked about that. You know, that was my first grown-up job, was working in women's health, and then kind of came full circle and came back to working in women's health again now. And I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and there was a woman. She started out speaking, and I said, well, that's not English. and she was Navajo, and she opened up her part of the discussion speaking in Navajo, and she was talking about she's a midwife. There's only like apparently 3 Native certified nurse midwives in the country, which I think is appalling. But she's got a organization that I plan on looking into. It looked like she maybe kind of started the process of working at least with her Navajo people, culturally competent and inclusive women's health.
I'm so sorry. Tim, can you mute your phone for us, please? We're getting your conversation. Tim, can you mute your phone, please?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, Haley, but I didn't want to miss your answer. And
That's okay. Yeah. That really got me excited. You know, it's always in the back of my brain, you know, that's something that we don't offer, really. You know, I'm sure our providers do pap smears, and I know we've got the mammograms, but you think about prenatal care and later, even OBGYN care, that's not something that we really have. And I'm planning on delving into what this woman is doing with the Navajo, because that just really excited me. And I think it was just meant to be. Like 2 days later, I was listening to NPR, and there's a couple of, they were speaking to some doulas it was Tulsa NPR. So there was at least one who is Native and took on being a doula because she realized there wasn't really anybody doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, when you have women that maybe don't have mothers or aunts or anybody like that to help with that care. So I think, that's really, it's something that I'm really wanting to work towards coming up with ideas for, is coming up with really good women's health care for us to try to do.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Does anybody else have any questions or comments for Haley? And then I just wanted to say that I've also, just like Congresswoman Lemon, a few of us have sat in on a couple of meetings that she's been a part of, and I did really enjoy and became excited about the fact that she did just jump into discussions. And that, a lot of times you don't get that with new candidates, but I think she's going to be very proactive for us. If there's no other questions, if someone is wishing to, they could go ahead and make movement.
Chairwoman.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yeah, thank you. And Ms. Kramer, thank you. I agree with the comments made by Congresswoman Stabler and Congresswoman Lemon. That's been my experience. And it was almost, I think a few of us was like, okay, this is refreshing to have Haley on and bring a new dynamic and have a big voice that was greatly needed on there. And so hopefully, you know, that all works out and can steer in a good direction. So at this time, I would like to make a motion that Haley Kramer be confirmed to the Osage Nation Health Authority Board, that she is the candidate is qualified by education and experience, and that there are no ethical or legal barriers to service.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. Thank you, Haley Kramer. Thank you very much, and welcome to the Osage Nation.
For having me today.
Yes, the next step is your name will go to the floor for the vote. So thank you for being here today. Okay, so next is Tim Shadlow, and he is on the line. And Tim, welcome. This is Tim's first appointment. And so, Tim, I'm going to give you a few minutes to do an introduction of yourself, and then we'll go into questions from the committee.
Okay, thank you, Paula. Again, my name is Tim Shadlow. I'm a member of the Zonzoli District. grew up in Hominy, Oklahoma, and kind of with my wife and I, we moved around from Arkansas and Lawrence, Kansas, where I started working in IHS many years ago. But for the last 11 years, I've been with Indian Healthcare Resource Center in Tulsa, working with diabetes prevention with youth, and then overseeing a total of three grants, which was CDC, Center of Disease Control, Traditional Foods Grants, Methamphetamine Suicide Prevention Initiatives, and also ran summer camps and promoting after-school programs for low-income area for Native American children. And so part of my job was to stretch our budgets as far as we could, but also being in the healthcare field, I've been able to see a number of clinics in the process of how they ran all the way through their pharmacy from their the waiting room to the pharmacy and to out the door. So that's just a little bit about myself. I have a couple of kids down here in Tulsa, new business owner. That's about all I have.
Okay. All right. Does anyone have any questions for Tim? Okay. Well, I do. I'd like to hear a little bit more, Tim, about your work in prevention. That's a new area for the health board to take oversight on. And maybe your thoughts and ideas about where to go with the program.
Okay. Well, when I started looking at methamphetamine and suicide prevention here in Tulsa area, again, it was a lot different. So when I started looking at the numbers and kids are starting to see drugs introduced into their life, it seemed like seventh grade in the school seemed to be where they would start to see different drugs like marijuana and things that kids would see. But eighth grade seemed to be the year that kids were trying. So from my experience here in Tulsa was to be able to attack the issue in middle school, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And that was through like a life skills program, teaching kids how to build healthy relationships with like friendships or partnerships, healthy and effective communication, helping them understand their thought process, and then also giving them the skills to get out of bad situations. So we try to give all the kids everything they would need in middle school so that when they entered into ninth grade, we hope that they would have the skills to be successful and not get involved in these habits. The other aspects that we've tried to work on was creating activities for kids to do. And one of the big things we did was try to show them that, you know, when you're looking at kids with depression, you've got to help them understand what is going on. And a lot of times what we try to teach kids is to create upward spirals. I don't know why us as human are wired in different ways, but we think about everything we do is wrong when something bad happens to us, which is we just want to be left alone. We don't want to be around anybody. You know, we talk and we make ourselves feel horrible. So we do everything to create a downhill spiral. And what we try to teach is the uphill spiral. When something bad happens to you, is to be around people, to do things that make you feel good about yourself. And then we also have to work on being able to open up and tell others of what ourselves, or tell others of what is wrong. So when I look at prevention, and again, I am not in Hominy or Pawhuska right now, but I think if we look at prevention programs, we need to expand it to youth. We need to teach kids what they're seeing and help them understand that it's not right, or show them what a healthy relationship with is like 50-50, how we should communicate with one another, how they should communicate with their teachers, their parents, things like that. So I think that when we look at prevention, life skill programs are very beneficial and they're rewarding. But one of the things you won't see are the benefits until 5 or 6 years down the road when these kids are in high school or out of high school, when you hear the story of, you know, hey, thank you for teaching me how to, you know, communicate to get out of the situation. So that was a big part of the prevention programs we have. But the other part was you got to be able to get the numbers there. And the best way to do that is to be in the schools. We down in Tulsa, we taught in the Title VII classes, Title VII classes at Broken Arrow, Owosso, and Edison. So our numbers, you know, unless the kids weren't at school, our numbers were 95% attendance because the kids had to be there. We were able to get in those classrooms. And I think that's something we need to address and attack in our rural areas and have one consistent program.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone else have any questions or comments for Tim?
Congresswoman, Stabler.
Yes, Speaker, go ahead.
Chairwoman.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So thank you, Mr. Stabler, for, I don't know what you're doing, but it's really loud. Yeah. And
maybe he's washing dishes. He might be at work.
I know. I guess he's stirring the gravy or what?
I am in a rainstorm right now. Let me pull over here. I'm in a rainstorm. That is crazy. Holy cow.
We just assumed you were at the restaurant stirring the gravy or something. I was like, he's loud.
Wow, that could. Let me get over here. I'm trying to pull in a safe spot, but. We are in a storm here in Tulsa, and whew.
Okay, well, yeah,
okay, I can hear you.
Yeah, thank you. So I appreciate Congresswoman Stabler asking that question, and I appreciate your comments on that, because as Congresswoman Lemon stated a little bit earlier when she was questioning another candidate, prevention is so extremely important, and I'm excited for you to get in and take a look at that. And because the nation, I think there's been a little bit of movement, but there was a time where the clinic was doing, you know, a prevention effort, and then so was the OCH Nation's program, prevention program. And so it would definitely be, you know, worthwhile to collaborate and just take a holistic view of that as well, because that is such an important time, because we know for sure that one of our biggest needs in our community is alcohol and substance abuse treatment. And it's extremely difficult to, and the most devastating part is for us to not be able to get those folks in for treatment, the treatment that they need. And then often so, you know, it's a long history. They've been dealing with it for years and years, even since childhood, because, you know, with the dual diagnostic portion of it is that they are not just dealing with a substance, they're dealing with years of, you know, depression and anxiety and things like that because of what they've experienced as a child. And so I'm excited for you to look at that and be able to advise on those efforts. So I appreciate your experience at department and, you know, your words. And I will say I would have preferred Joanna Shadlow, but I mean, we got you. So I'm happy. And because she's an extreme, would be an extreme threat to us as well in the mental health field. And so anyways, I thank you for your time. And that was, I know that's your expertise, and so I just really think that you will be an asset in that area. So thank you for your comments.
Thank you. I will comment on that. So my lifeline is Dr. Shadlow. So when I have any questions, I always say them down here. When I had an issue, I would call her to make sure we was doing the right thing. If it was a referral process or to help me understand, you know, there's certain things that go on with kids that we don't understand and that Dr. Shadlow was able to help me with. So she is my lifeline and, you know, makes the recommendations of what we should do in difficult situations.
Okay, this is true. So we get a twofer, so I'll take it. I like it. Okay. So, Chairwoman, I'll make a motion when there are no more questions.
All right. Are there any other questions or comments for Tim?
Yes, this is Brandy.
Congresswoman Lennon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And hello, Mr. Shadlow.
Hello.
Thank you for being on the call today. And so I've kind of been asking some of the same questions from a lot of the people that we are interviewing for their appointed positions. And, you know, in looking at your packet, I am super, I mean, you know, in your resume, I'm super excited and looking forward to continuing to see how the dynamic that you bring to the board in the sense of the prevention piece. And then also the fact that, you know, you grew up here, you understand some of the mentalities that we as Osages and people that live in this community, how we process some of our thoughts. And also the fact that, you know, we're going to be heading towards hopefully an integration of all kinds of services where prevention and behavioral health, which we all know is the foundation for choosing healthy lifestyles or making the right good choices for us. And so I'm excited about that. And so some of the same questions that I've been asking, tell me something that you weren't able to put in your packet, or you might have wanted to, you weren't sure if it should be in there, something about yourself that wasn't there for us to dissect.
Okay, so I think one of the things that I want to look at when I was asked, you know, to be a part of this board was, I put a little bit in my package, but working to make a clinic more effective, getting more people in the door, and then helping and working on ways to get more people with the supplemental health insurance. That has always been big for me. That way we can refer more patients to see the doctor if we have a supplemental insurance. That cuts that money that we're saying is getting cut in half because the clinic can't cover it. Well, if we have a supplemental insurance, that's one of the things I want to look at. And then the other part is streamlining the clinic, because the main complaint when you always talk about our clinics in our area is time consuming. What is taking so much time for us as a patient that has an appointment to get through? So I think what you want to dissect is what I've been able to see through my years of how a clinic should function if it's profitable. And I think that's the aspect that's not in my packet and doesn't look like in my resume that I should be very effective at. And I really am. I've been with Indian Healthcare. I've been with Haskell IHS for a number of years. I've been able to see what works and what doesn't work.
Thank you. May I continue, Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So earlier we were visiting with another appointee, and of course we were talking about, you know, something that she felt that was an obstacle or a barrier. And she touched on the same point as access to care. And all the years that all of us have worked in healthcare, that is, I said the same thing to her, that is always one of the biggest goals is how do we make it easier for our patients and us as employees or healthcare workers to make the healthcare visits and whatever it is you're seeking out, whether it be a behavioral health visit, whether it be a dental visit, a pharmacy drive-through visit, whatever it may be, that it can be the best that it can be, that the most efficient, but with the easiest access. And that, of course, it's always being assessed and reassessed, because things change. And I'm excited to hear that, to know that we are going to have a focus, not that we haven't, I'm not saying that we haven't, on access to healthcare in general. And knowing that, you know, it's easy to say, well, we don't have good access because we don't have enough providers. That's not necessarily always the case. And I think that you know that in the background that you have worked in, that there are a lot of barriers
that are out there to access that sometimes we don't even realize are there for the patient and for our clinic or for our system. So I appreciate that very much so. And I appreciate your time. And so go ahead, Congresswoman Pratt, or Speaker Pratt, sorry.
Are there any other questions or comments? Then I believe we are ready.
Okay, Congresswoman Stabler, I'll move to report Tim Shadlow that the candidate is qualified by education and experience and that there are no ethical legal barriers to service.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Shadlow, for joining us today. And the next step will be your motion will be going to the floor for a vote on the floor of Congress. Okay.
Motion, Chair.
Thank you.
We have a second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, on the call today.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you, Chair.